Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Monday to you. Hot Monday in the central Susquehanna Valley. Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070. WKOK, Sean Carey here, and Steve will be there in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummelsworth. Monday edition of the Steve Jones Show, always brought to you by Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury. When life happens, you want people in your corner that will react like it happened to them. That's the great people at Purdy Insurance. Whether you need life insurance, business insurance, automobile insurance, renter's insurance, they will customize a plan for you. And of course, they work with only the top reputable brands. Fit your needs, fit your budget. So go to purdyinsurance.com or stop in, see them in person on Market Street in Sunbury. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, our Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. And we also invite you to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. It's available on both iTunes, Apple Podcast app, Google Play. So if you're on either Google Play or iTunes, type in Steve Jones Show, get access to the podcast there. And each episode after it airs live here on WKOK, drop right into your mobile device. You'll be able to listen to it anytime, anywhere, which I did quite a bit last week. A big thank you to Matt Catrillo for filling in for me while it's about this time last Monday. It was approximately 8 hours after catching the news about the passing of my mom at the age of 87. And a big thank you as well to everybody here at Sunbury Broadcasting for their love and support. And she had a phenomenal run. She was my biggest fan. And we now move onward and upward and hopefully keep doing what I'm doing, and she can look down smiling. That's the goal. We're with you live till 5, then we'll have the late-day news roundup with Sarah Benick. She's at the anchor desk this afternoon. And then tonight, 6:30, we go to Citizens Bank Park for more Phillies baseball on 1070 AM. The Phillies will be cranking up a three-game series with the Cardinals. That's tonight, tomorrow night, and a day game on Wednesday. So we'll be bumped on Wednesday. Phillies right-hander Nick Pivetta struggling so far this month, so he is looking for a turnaround tonight. And the Cardinals have been slumping as well. Teams are meeting for the second time in a month. They split a four-game set at Busch last month. Pivetta currently sitting at 4-6 with an 8.36 ERA. Opponents are hitting .352 against him through three June starts. The 25-year-old did have close to a 3.3 ERA and a .230 batting average against him during his first 11 starts of the season. But the wheels started to fall off the bus for Pivetta facing the Colorado Rockies last week. He allowed 6 runs, 8 hits, and 3 walks in only 5 innings of work in a 7-2 loss that the Phillies had last week on Wednesday night. That was the 4th straight start where Pivetta took a loss. Gabe Kapler said, "I think his composure has not been perfect, but he is a young developing pitcher." Pivetta did not pitch against the Cardinals when the Phillies faced them last month, but he did see St. Louis last year. Pivetta allowed 7 earned runs and struck out 12 in 11 innings during those starts. Pivetta is going to face a Cardinals team that posted a 5-0 victory over the Cubs last night. They've still lost 5 times in their last 7. Both the Cards and the Fightins are sitting at 37 and 32. Once again, we'll have that for you tonight. 6:30 will be on deck with Jim Jackson, and Scott Fransky, Larry Anderson will be in the box beginning at 7:05 tonight here for First Pitch on WKOK. The Phillies wrapped up their road trip yesterday. They won 10-9 over Milwaukee. One point, we're leading 10-5. Michael Franco went 2-for-3 with a home run and 4 RBIs. The third baseman was making just his second start since June the 6th, and he homered for the first time since May the 26th. Also, Rhys Hoskins with a home run yesterday. He is batting .333. He has gone 10-for-30 with four home runs and 11 RBIs since returning from that broken jaw that he suffered last month during that West Coast road trip. Also tonight, you got Milwaukee at the Pittsburgh Pirates, Yankees, Washington, White Sox, Cleveland, Dodgers, Cubs, Tampa Bay, Houston, Texas, Kansas City, part of the baseball menu tonight, as well as Mets, Colorado. And your late night games are Arizona at the Angels and Miami at the San Francisco Giants. World Cup soccer is underway. Earlier today, Belgium with a very impressive 3-0 win over Panama, Lukaku with 2 goals, Sweden 1-0 over South Korea, and Tunisia and England, they are currently playing. They're at the half, actually just started second half. They're 8 minutes into the second half. They're tied at 1-1. Harry Kane, England's captain, received a goal early on for England.
Ah, yes. Yes, England, Tunisia, huh?
Yes, they're level 1-1. They just started the second half a little bit ago.
Yeah, well, a lot of nervous people in England right now.
Well, I said on this show a couple of months ago, because of the USA being out, Netherlands being out, Italy out, I would not watch the World Cup. Well, that didn't happen. So I DVR'd Portugal, Spain. I had to watch that. I watched that late Friday night, and I caught pretty much most of Brazil yesterday. So I'm catching the big matches here and there. It's great to be back. Great to be back with you.
It is so good to hear you on the other end. Our deepest condolences to you and Deb and your aunt and uncle. Your good friend, your mom's good friend who lived, next door or across the street, whatever was so good to her.
Right next door.
Our deepest condolences to all of you. The speech that Sean gave in the eulogy was just thoroughly brilliant.
I was worried out of the... My voice quivered at the beginning. I should have grabbed a little... We had little pony bottles of water outside, because in the chapel that we were at in the cemetery, mm-hmm. I was concerned it was going to get a little toasty in there, so we had a little case of water outside for anyone that needed a little shot of water. I should have grabbed one at the beginning. I should have started quicker. One of the two. I think it's kind of like...
No.
Yeah.
No.
But
no.
We dialed in and wrapped it up, so...
You handled it right all the way through. I was thoroughly impressed, deeply touched by what you said about your mom. It was great to see Tom and Laura there. It was great to see Roger there. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that should have been there but bagged you. I'm trying to think. Have you seen him today?
I did. First thing this morning.
Did he account for his absence?
Oh, he did.
You're not believing, are you?
Well, for those who didn't know, Suit was only supposed to take 3 days off last week, and then I heard from very reliable resources Thursday and Friday he was not feeling well.
Yeah, in fact, let's reenact the phone call into the station.
I think I got the black lung.
We monitor quite a few of those calls. We may have that on file somewhere.
Oh, I would.
I want to be there.
You have a car?
I mean, gas is still under $3 a gallon. You can make it.
Yeah.
You can stand in the back. Caring people do.
Well, you had a breakneck busy schedule on Friday, and I'm just so grateful that you were there as well.
Well, that's what happens when people care. All right, so...
Ha ha ha.
See, I got you to laugh.
I know. All right?
I got you to laugh.
I needed that. Right. I needed to get back in here today. I needed to get back into some kind of normal routine, and
I know.
Today's been great.
I know. Look, believe me, you're a treasure, right? Nobody treasures you in the company more than I do, so. Well, maybe Roger does, but I mean. Yeah.
Well, he sent me some wonderful, words as well, and actually I should find that here. Because I know you'll truly appreciate it. We'll find this here.
Yeah. Yeah, find that. I said in the promo today, and I'm going to get into this a lot, about what the Phillies should do. And I was serious about going that direction. Have you found that yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd sent a whole bunch of messages out to, I sent, you know, one to you and one to Roger, and Roger sent back to me, goes, my father always said anything worth doing is worth doing well. And you did very well today.
Yes,
so
you did.
That meant the world to me. So.
Yes, you did. No, Roger and I were standing together, and we were just both really impressed by what you did. Look, that's not easy. That's not. I've delivered three eulogies. They're never easy. You're trying to strike the right tone, and especially when it's your mom, as I gave the eulogy of my mom's. Yeah, you know, I thought you were outstanding. Just enough little humor. They got people laughing. Just enough touching moments to make people go, "Oh, really, really well done. Really well done."
Thank you.
And for, you know, any members of the company that should have been there but bagged it, we taped it. All right. So,
yeah, Laura was joking afterwards. Oh, we could put that on Facebook Live. It's like, well, there were a couple cousins that couldn't make it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and those who claimed
my one out in Colorado. So.
Yeah, and including, like, for example, people who claim to be, like, really best buddies with you on an everyday basis, and, you know, and then came up with a black lung at the last second. All I know is that your mom was 87, and what really struck me above all was there the people who worked there with her when she was growing up in your grandparents' business?
Yes.
And then for the 20 years she worked at Woolrich, the Woolrich people cherished her.
Mm-hmm.
Cherished her. I thought that is so neat. That beautiful picture that was on the card, and it was also at the front of her the night she lit up the Woolrich Christmas tree at the Christmas party. It was really, really nice.
Yeah, it was about a year or two after she retired. Yeah. They invited her back to light the tree up, and she took some photos inside the store, and that was the photo we chose to use. So.
Couldn't have used a better one. And see, I was listening.
I know you were.
Yeah, that's what happens when you're there. All right, so.
I thought the suit was going to request a eulogy transcript, but he hasn't done that. So get the full effect of what he missed.
He missed an opportunity to be a friend. All right, so we'll come back. I can tell you what he missed.
That's not funny.
It wasn't meant to be. All right, we'll come back. All right. My intention here in the first 10 minutes or so is to make Sean feel a lot better and have some laughs and get back to normal. Part of getting back to normal, too, is that let's talk about the Phillies, Manny Machado, and why I strongly feel they need to make a run at him. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
Father's Day normally means a new tie, a pair of socks. If Dad is really lucky, maybe some new golf balls.
Well, Sunbury Motors is honoring Dads with the Father of All Sales.
SMC has three 2018 models priced at $20,850 each. Dad can take his pick between a 2018 Ford Fusion, Ford Escape, or Ford EcoSport. Pick from 13 2018 Ford Fusions starting at $20,850. Choose from 67 2018 Ford Escapes as low as $20,850. Or the all-new, hot-selling 2018 Ford EcoSport 4x4 slash to $20,850. But that's not all. Pick from over 85 2018 Ford F-150s with savings up to $12,500 off. And they start as low as $26,669 plus 0% financing for up to 72 months on select models.
It's the father of all sales
going on now. So hurry into Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. SMC, satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915.
Here's Adam Purdy with another example of how Purdy Insurance is different.
I was at home one Saturday when I got a call from a client who had just been in an auto accident with a rental car in Canada. After confirming that everyone was okay, I checked his policy and assured him that we had the proper coverages in place. Within a few minutes, I had his claim called in and he was back to enjoying his vacation.
Purdy Insurance has been answering calls like this for over 90 years.
Give Purdy Insurance a call today at 800-677-2478 to see what we can do for you.
All right, let's get into Manny Machado with the Orioles. It's becoming obvious by the day that the Orioles feel that their best shot is to somehow get prospects and try and rebuild that way, the way most teams have attempted to do. And why I strongly feel the Phillies should put together a nice package and try to get him. So let's get to that, because I think that's an important topic to talk about, the future of the team. Prospects obviously pan out moving through your system. They obviously can. Cesar Hernandez is a good player. Move right through their system. Aaron Nola, you know, I mean, they've had guys that have done this. But, and the Phillies are an example of this. To me, 75% to 80% of the trades where you deal the established player and you get prospects in return, 75 to 80% of the time, it doesn't pan out. Oh, once in a while, you'll get the Larry Anderson for Jeff Bagwell. You'll get the Woody Freiman for John Smoltz. I mean, that happens once in a while. But if you notice, I just went back 31 years to find two examples. When the Phillies dealt Curt Schilling to the Arizona Diamondbacks, they were set back as an organization for 7 years. 7 years. Tell me I'm wrong. 7 years set back. And what did the Phillies get in return for that? Nothing that helped them. When the Phillies dealt Hunter Pence to the Giants, what did they get in return? Tommy Joseph eventually, but for a little bit. For Hunter Pence. Now, the Phillies sent prospects to acquire Hunter Pence. What did they lose? Hunter Pence is a great example in both directions. What did they lose? The Pirates, now, he wasn't the best player. I mean, Andrew McCutchen transitioned out of being the best player the Pirates had, but he was the face of the franchise. They dealt him to the Giants. You know what they lost besides McCutchen? Fans. They dealt Gerrit Cole to the Astros. All they did was lose the confidence of their fan base. Now let's flip it back to the Phillies.
put together a package of prospects and send them to the Orioles. Acquire Manny Machado. In fact, I would include one of three players. I would include either Cesar Hernandez, Scott Kingery, or J.P. Crawford. They're already in a rotation anyway. Pick the two guys that you think going forward are the two guys you want to keep and build around and make a statement to everybody out there and acquire them. Because 75 to 80, I mean, how profitable in reality has the Cole Hamels trade been? I mean, how profitable? I mean, really, Nick Williams? Really? Okay, I mean, come on. This idea of we got prospects for established player. You've got so many franchises right now that have been doing that, and guess what? They're going nowhere. Look at all the established players the White Sox have dealt away. The White Sox are absolutely not a good baseball team. The Red Sox got Chris Sale for four guys, including Yoan Moncada, who is the number one prospect. Moncada's hitting .230. The two pitchers have ERAs near six.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades, finding their customers the right insurance, auto, home, business, life, whatever it may be, and at the best price. And if there happens to be a claim, boy, they jump in right away. They are your greatest advocate. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Okay. Just a couple of quick notes for you. Walt Barr, who was the head soccer coach at Penn State for many, many years, and yes, the father of Matt and Chris Barr, who went on to productive NFL careers as place kickers with the Matt with the Steelers and the Giants primarily, and Chris primarily with the Bengals and the Raiders, passed away today at the age of 91, Walt did. So Walt Barr, Penn State men's soccer coach for a long time. I always felt, what, his 79 team? Right around there with Jimmy Stamatis was probably his best team. They made the Final Four that year down in Tampa. And he was the last living member of the 1950 United States World Cup team that beat England 1-0. In fact, I believe he assisted on the goal. But Walt was 91. Then there's the story on Mike Watkins. It came out today that Watkins is being charged with possession of marijuana paraphernalia. They found a grinder in a bag. And he'll have a preliminary hearing on July 11th. So that gets you up to date on that. Brooks Koepka won the U.S. Open yesterday. Phil Mickelson's ball is still rolling. I will say this. They need to change the rule. I'm Mickelson. Mickelson, of course, received a two-shot penalty, which under the rule is the correct ruling. Oh, by the way, the one other thing I forgot to, Barry Trotz resigned today as the Capitals. He was not under contract. Barry Trotz coached the playoffs, not under contract. And today he resigned. He will find a better deal someplace else. But back to Mickelson. Mickelson, under the rule, two-shot penalty. So the rule was properly applied. But they need to consider disqualification for it and change the rule to that. And here's the reason why. What happens if you go to the 72nd hole and you have a four-shot lead? Right? And your par putt goes by, you race down, take it, and while it's still moving, tap it in for bogey, take the two-shot penalty, and you still win by one. Instead of letting it roll out. You need to take that into consideration. With the Mickelson situation, I mean, obviously he was not remotely close to the lead, so really his penalty is irrelevant in terms of placement. It doesn't have did not determine any outcome in the tournament. But you can have somebody use that to their advantage to determine the outcome of a tournament. And I think that's why you need to change it to disqualification when you do it. Just a thought. All right. The NBA draft is Thursday. The Phillies are in the Manny Machado sweepstakes. Again, as I pointed out earlier, this whole deal about, hey, we're dealing for prospects, to me is one of the great snake oil salesman deals of all time. Rarely do dealing for prospects pays off. Look at your own team. Who have you acquired as a prospect and go, hey, look what we got? Seriously. Which Phillies player was acquired as a prospect that you're sitting there going, hey, we really ripped them off there, didn't we? Who? Which guy? Can you name a guy? 8 times out of 10, maybe even higher, the team that receives the established player for prospects wins the deal. Because you have no idea how good these guys are. None. And then you find over time, they're not really that good. I mean, who'd the Phillies get in the Curt Schilling trade? I mean, they acquired Hunter Pence, gave away prospects. What'd they give away? I mean, now that you've had a chance to look at it. Then they took Hunter Pence and they dealt him to the Giants. What'd they get back? What? This happens all the time. What'd the White Sox get for Chris Sale? Hey, what did the Marlins get for Giancarlo Stanton? You notice they didn't include Leiber Torres or Andujar in that deal. They didn't include them. I talked to Walt Jocketty a long time ago when he was the general manager of the Cardinals. And Walt was there. He was watching the Spikes players the third time he'd see them play that year. Now, he was the general manager of the Cardinals at the time. John Mozeliak is now the GM of the Cardinals. He's a great guy to talk to. I like John very much. I was talking to Walt Jocketty, and I said, Walt, I said, and this was in July, so the trading deadline was coming up. And I said, how important is it for you to know not only what you're acquiring, but also to find out firsthand what you might be giving up? And he said, Steve, that's the whole ballgame. And all this stuff for prospects. I mean, you know, Mickey Moniak might end up being a fabulous player at some point, but you know, Mickey Moniak's off to a 250 start in his career in the minors. 250. I think he's hitting 254 this year, but 250 for his career. Wow. Takes time. All right. And with that, we bring in Matt Leon from Philadelphia. Matt, great to have you with us. The Sixers brought in several players today. Dakota Mathias, Nana Fowland from Bucknell. Dakota Mathias from Purdue. Alonzo Trier from Arizona. Yuta Watanabe from GW, among six guys they worked out today. What's your thought process on what they may do with their picks, especially in the second round?
I think they're keeping their hands wide open. I would not have 2 picks in the first round, and then they've got 4 in the second if they ended up making all 6 of those picks. I think there'll be some wheeling and dealing. I think it's possible they could make a move moving up. I think it's they could move down. I think everything is on the table. One guy that they've had in that a lot of people in this area are happy, Mikal Bridges, the Villanova standout.
Yeah.
He seems to be in that, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11 range where he most people think he's going to fall. And I think he would fit in nicely with the Sixers, and obviously would be a, not that they need a PR move, but it would make a lot of people around here happy taking someone from the national championship Villanova team.
There have been a lot of mock drafts. One of them in the second round had Tony Carr, and the thought process behind it made some sense. T.J. McConnell, my understanding, is only left on his contract with the Sixers. Is that something that they have to think about down the road of another guard?
He just had his team option picked up, and it's not a guarantee, so that's T.J. McConnell.
Oh, yeah,
I
really
think he's going to be here. Unless there is a significant decline in play, he is going to be here for quite some. Anything's possible, a process there. But it's going to take a lot to unseat T.J. McConnell for two point guard spot, because Brett Brown is incredibly comfortable with him. And he's produced, in big spots. He's not a guy that's piled up some, nifty stat line against terrible teams. He's had some games. He had some games during this playoff run where he really, they took control for spurts. So to unseat him, and I think if
Let me flip it to the other side. T.J. McConnell, when it comes time for him to look at his contract, what he may want to consider going someplace because he can get more money.
Oh, that's very possible. I also think, though, that I think T.J. feels a strong amount of loyalty because this organization gave. Think about where T.J. McConnell was 3 years ago. I remember when the Sixers brought him in, people being like kind of a punchline, like, well, this guy's making the team, this shows how bad this franchise really is. You don't hear much of that anymore. He realizes that he got an opportunity here when no one else would give him that opportunity, and I think he loves playing with Embiid and Simmons, and I don't just mean that past the who wouldn't love playing with them, but I think he's got a chemistry with them. So that could be a two-way street, as far as it would really take a lot to dislodge him from being a key part of the Sixers team going forward.
Okay, I want to get to the Phillies for rumors about Manny Machado. You and I both know that, for the most part, I'm going to guess 75 to 80% of the time, trades with prospects, right, well, for the team acquiring the prospects, which means to me there's no harm, no foul. Take some prospects and go acquire Manny Machado. Is there any talk about the possibility of him going to Philadelphia? Because the Phillies have themselves at least in a position, and another veteran would not hurt them.
Oh, no, absolutely. They've got the money to spend if you're talking about bringing him on and paying him and doing whatever he wants financially. I think we're going to keep hearing that name until Manny Machado gets traded one way or the other somewhere else, because he fits. The Phillies have a ton of young infielders, but frankly, other than Cesar Hernandez, who was probably the least likely to be the guy to really cement his place, first got Kingery, and then you move to the outfield. I mean, Hoskins is Hoskins, but Nick Williams, Aaron Altair, these are all guys that have had hot streaks but haven't proven the consistency to deserve to play every day. So you've got a chance to get a Machado and put him in the middle of that lineup next to Hoskins and, even next to Carlos Santana, whose average is starting to creep up here but has proven to be a dangerous power hitter. That would really, really be something. You combine that with starting pitching at the part, and you would really have something rolling downhill. So I think until Machado is moved, you will continue to hear him linked to the Phillies. I think rightfully so. I think I'd be willing to give up a good amount to get him in town here, and they've got the cards to deal. I mean, not just the guys at the major league level. I think they've got some attractive prospects in the minor leagues that they might be able to include in something as well.
Well, in fact, it wouldn't bother me if I saw the Phillies, for example, include as one of those guys either Cesar Hernandez or Scott Kingery or J.P. Crawford. I mean, what the heck?
Yeah,
one of those three, I think if you include that in there as part of it, makes it a more attractive. Know that Hernandez is the only one so far that's been able to handle the major league level hitting-wise.
Right, and also if you're bringing in a Machado, you already don't have enough at-bats for all these guys.
Right.
So you're bringing in a Machado who's going to get 600 at-bats, in a season, no questions asked. So that's even less playing time. So it would create more of a logjam. So I think it would make a lot of sense to part with one of those guys in a deal like that. I'm really going to be fascinated to see the approach that the Phillies take at the deadline. It's been kind of ugly here the last month, but they're still 5 over .500. They have found a way to win some games that they really just kind of needed to have to prevent really falling into a tail. And, you know, last couple of series, it hasn't been pretty at all against Colorado and in Milwaukee, which is a tough place this year. But they won both series, and now they start the first of three with the Cardinals. So I think they have weathered the storm here. They're still not hitting for the most part like people thought they would. And other than the youngster, Sir Anthony Dominguez, the bullpen is really kind of a who knows what you're going to get from night to night. But all that being said, they're still plus five, so it'll be interesting to see how they approach July and whether they decide to really be buyers for Machado or somebody like that, or if they just maybe hold serve, maybe add a reliever or something like that. It'll be interesting.
Baseball attendance is down. It's down 7 and 10% from last year, which is the biggest drop since 94, the strike year, to 95 when they came back. And fans said, that's nice. You're back. I'm not going. But it's down 7 to 10%. It's a problem. How is it in Philadelphia right now?
We are a long ways away from the, I think it was 253 straight sellouts that the Phillies had during that run of five straight division titles from 2007 through 2011. I actually haven't looked at the numbers against last year, but it's pretty much what it's been as of late. Okay. I think a good crowd is low 20s. Nothing precipitous, really, in either direction. But I can understand the game's getting harder and harder to sit through for an entire game because there's less than, I mean, baseball has never been an action-packed sport, but now with every team virtually taking the approach of working pitchers, and you understand it from a strategic standpoint, but you have less and less action. You have more and more swings and misses. You have more and more strikeouts. So there's really just less and less action happening. And I think, you know, less action with a younger generation that wants more action, that's not a good combination. So I really don't think anybody should be surprised at this. And, you know, I think baseball's hurting for some big name stars. You've got Mike Trout, and but he plays out on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. And not that Los Angeles, Anaheim's a small market or anything like that, but you know, most of his games start after most kids in the country have gone to bed. So I think it's tough to really market him for that simple reason. Giancarlo Stanton, yes, he's in New York now, been struggling a little bit, but he was in Miami on a team that wasn't serious about winning. So I think you combine the lack of action with a lack of big superstars in the right cities, and I think you get what you have now.
Well, Miami, Tampa Bay, Oakland, the White Sox, the Pirates, the Reds, the Royals, the Orioles. I mean, they all act like they're not interested in winning.
Yeah. I mean, the thing, I think you could contract baseball now by five or six teams, and other than the diehards in those towns, I don't think you'd get a lot of pushback.
Yet, they want to expand by two.
Right, because they want the money that those expansion teams will bring in to the owners. You know, it has nothing to do, you know as well as I do, the owners, yes, they'll pay homage to, we want the quality of play and stuff like that. They want the money.
Absolutely.
And expansion teams, that is printing money for the established franchises.
Yep. I mean, when you're taking short-term versus long-term decisions, a short-term decision is expansion. In fact, that's always been the biggest problem for new leagues trying to challenge established leagues. They expand too quickly because they get addicted to the quick cash.
Absolutely. If you've really got to establish stuff and start small. And it is. It's long-term, and nobody wants long-term. It was tough to convince people of long-term 40, 45 years ago, let alone now.
Right.
So, I'm sure they will expand because that's when rich guys want to do something, they do it. But it'll be bad for the sport.
Yeah, they want to expand by two more. That's the game plan. You can see, like, Montreal, Charlotte, Nashville, Portland would probably be areas because I think they would look at, obviously, Montreal. I mean, Jeffrey Loria crushed that.
You got to give him credit, though. He crushed franchises in two cities. That's tough to do.
I mean, I just tell people, do what you're really good at. And to his credit, he's really good at it.
That's true, yeah. I found my calling, Mom.
My calling. Expansion teams. Well, that's okay. They're going to, the expansion team, they'll go through the expansion draft. They're going to look over at the White Sox and say, we have to take somebody?
Yeah, we really have to.
We have. I mean, can we?
How about the mascot?
Okay, can we? Can we pass?
Yeah,
I'd like to pass.
All right, always a pleasure, my friends. Great to hear you.
Thanks.
All right, Matt, Leon in Philadelphia. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.